KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. Today on the report, a large swath of Cook Inlet outside of state waters has been closed by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council to commercial salmon fishing. Is it checkmate for personal use fishermen, or just another move in the long game? First this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, which applauds Alaska seafood processors for their extraordinary efforts to limit pandemic outbreaks in their facilities and to protect our communities. Thank you.
And by
the Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287. The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Cook Inlet salmon fishermen fall into two camps. In this corner, we have the personal use fisherman, the artful angler, the daring dip netter. What could be more Alaskan than driving your truck down to the river with your family and a giant dip net to fill your winter freezer up with the most delicious, wild, healthy, sustainable protein on earth? We're talking about ice chests and campfires, chest waders in the midnight sun, putting up fish with your friends and neighbors. It's Alaska. And in this corner, the intrepid commercial fisherman, harvesting fresh salmon in the wide green-blue waters of Cook Inlet, ringed by the tall mountains. It's a largely local fleet, generational, flipping the fish from the nets with their fingers into icy fish holds, the epitome of fresh wild seafood and a way of life that values hard work and sustainability. But in recent years, these two user groups have had their differences. Personal use fishermen are quick to defend their right to the resource as Alaskans, but commercial fishermen have chafed under the Board of Fish regime they say over-prioritizes the needs of freezer fillers and risks over-escapement. There is, of course, only one place to settle this.
Welcome to another edition of Thunderdome!
Of course, I mean the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Federal managers voted Monday to close a huge swath of Upper Cook Inlet to commercial salmon fishing, capping a two-year fight over the fate of the fishery and its 500 permit holders. Those fishermen and representatives from the Kenai Peninsula turned out in droves to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council meeting to oppose the closure. But when representatives from Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy's administration said the state was unwilling to manage the area alongside the federal government, the council voted unanimously for the closure. Sabine Pooks in Kenai has more.
The 10-0 vote shuts down drift gillnet fishing in waters further than 3 miles offshore, from the southern tip of Kalgan Island to Anchor Point. Fishermen like Georgie Everly of Anchorage say the area is a crucial fishing ground and that the closure will reverberate across industries.
Fishermen have been leaving the fishery already for the last several years. It's hardly economically viable, and this really is the nail in the coffin.
For years, fisheries management of Upper Cook Inlet's federal waters was under state jurisdiction. But in 2013, United Cook Inlet Drift Association, advocating for the commercial industry, filed a lawsuit in an effort to revert management to the federal government. The court sided with USIDA in 2017, and the council was tasked with drafting a new salmon management plan. This fall, 2 years into a process that involved collaboration from groups of stakeholders, Dunleavy's administration introduced the option of closing the federal waters to commercial salmon fishing completely, a proposal known as Alternative 4. It was a controversial idea. In the weeks leading up to the meeting, hundreds submitted comments in opposition, including the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, the cities of Kenai and Homer, Nikiski Republican Representative Ben Carpenter, and Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Machicki. Machicki now says he thinks the council's decision will be challenged in court. Rather than an outright closure of the federal waters of Upper Cook Inlet, fishermen asked the council to turn management over to the state with federal oversight. Council members rejected fishermen's plea for state management after hearing from the Dunleavy administration. Rachel Baker, the deputy fish and game commissioner who represents the administration on the council, said the state does not want to take on the burden of managing fishing in Upper Cook Inlet with oversight from the federal government. Andy Mazzero, who runs a charter fishing business in Seward, is the one council member who lives on the Kenai Peninsula. He said he was worried about the impacts of the decision on his neighbors, but added that if the state would not agree to joint management, he would reluctantly support the closure.
I'm not an expert on states' rights, but it seems like almost everyone agrees that the state should be the one who's ultimately managing this fishery, and who has done so for decades until this lawsuit brought this issue in front of the council.
A big concern among opponents is that the closure will make matters worse for seafood processors, who are already strained by poor fishing seasons the last couple years. And it's hard for drift and set net fisheries to stay open if processors are closing, says Robert Ruffner, a former member of the Alaska Board of Fisheries and resident of Soldotna.
Our communities are going to suffer pretty heavily, probably more than the numbers reflect in terms of the harvest that occurs out there, because our processors are rapidly becoming the limiting factor in what they can continue to stay open and operate under those environments.
Homer in particular would be hard hit by the decision, according to the council's report. At least one group of fishermen supported the action. The Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, which has close ties to Dunleavy's administration, submitted the lone comment in support of closing the federal waters to fishing. Executive Director Ben Moore says he would prefer state management of the fishery than total closure, but after the court's decision in the UCEDA lawsuit, he saw the closure as the best path forward.
We weren't seeking to shut down the commercial fishery or anything like that. That's not what we're about. It was solely about who manages those fish and defending the state's primacy to manage our fish and wildlife resources for the benefit of all Alaskans.
Most other waters in Alaska under federal jurisdiction are closed to commercial salmon fishing. Baker said at the meeting that benefits to other groups might balance out its negative effects. Smaller harvests in the federal waters could lead to better harvests in other parts of the inlet, like for sport fishing groups, commercial set netters, and northern inlet drift fishermen. The closure will not go into effect before the upcoming 2021 season, since it still needs to be approved by the Secretary of the Department of Commerce and the National Marine Fisheries Service. Jim Balsiger, the service's regional administrator, was the one member of the council to abstain from voting Monday. For KDLL, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvests for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The December 2020 meeting of the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council has been an online affair this year, as so many things are these days. When I listen to it, I hear something like this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Council Members. My name is Anne, and I am here on behalf of the Midwater Council. We are directly impacted by this action. We represent ASA vessels.
All right, members of the public, please mute your phones. Members of the public, please mute your phones. Members of the public, please mute your phones.
So I decided to make some phone calls. Matt Hawkinson is fleet manager for Pacific Star Seafoods. His fishermen drift net in Cook Inlet, and he has doubts about their ability to catch the fish in state waters only.
If you look at their
assessment, their analysis of, you know, the effect this would have, they basically said that if they close this, the drifters will still have a chance to catch the fish in state waters, which, if you know anything about fishing, that's stupid. It actually does matter where you fish. And here in Cook Inlet, you know, the fish push up the inlet on the tide, and then they hug the shore and come back down along shore. So they pretty much avoid the corridor, that area within 3 miles of shore, where the drifters will be allowed to fish now. So this idea that you're going to catch the fish because they'll have to go through there to get to the river is pretty ridiculous. If you tried that with sport fishing, you know, if you could close the most productive areas and tell the sport fishermen, well, it doesn't really matter where you fish in the river because the fish have to go through the river. So you can catch the same fish, have the same success no matter where you fish. It's ridiculous that they even suggested that.
He went on to say that he was surprised that the council chose to take an action that was so overwhelmingly opposed.
I mean, there was a lot of public input. You look at the comments, written comments, there were 224 and 223 of them were against Alternative 4. They had an advisory panel that met and voted unanimously for Alternative 2, which would be state management with federal oversight. And they ignored the advisory panel and chose to close the fishery.
And he says closing the commercial fishery raises the specter of over-escapement, too many fish in the river competing for the same resources. Kenai River Sport Fishing Association Executive Director Ben Moore has his doubts about that.
It would be extremely difficult to over-escape a system like the Kenai and to have the significant impacts that people think occur.
But he recognized the value of commercial fishers.
But as far as should it be managed just as wild runs, I don't think that's a realistic scenario either. The commercial fleets in Cook Inlet have a long history here. There's a lot of value, not just to the economy and to the culture down here, but also into being able to manage the fishery in a responsible way, to be able to deploy the commercial fleets. I don't want to disparage the value of our set nets and our drift nets in Cook Inlet. They have tremendous value.
Kenai River Sports Fishing Association Executive Director Ben Moore was gracious in apparent victory.
Yeah, the question was asked, I'm sure you heard it yesterday, when they asked Senator Michicki and they asked me, and they probably could have asked a couple of the other callers if there was a willingness to work together to find a better solution than the ones in front of the council. And the answer is yes. Yeah, happy to work with all the other stakeholders because what a win looks like for us is full, vibrant fisheries for all users. And as the end users on returns, as the folks in rivers, abundance for us necessarily means that there should be abundance for everybody else along the line.
Managing for abundance is the Alaska model. Well, that's the show. Thanks very much to KDLL's Sabine Pooks for the great reporting, and to Ben Moore and Matt Hawkinson for daring speak to me. See you next week, and good fishing, everyone.